بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. كم من فئة قليلة غلبت فئة كثيرة بإذن الله، والله مع الصابرين. Allah سبحانه وتعالى declares in the Quran that how often has it been that by Allah's will, a small power, a small army has vanquished a larger army. والله مع الصابرين. And know certainly that Allah is with those who steadfastly persevere. What we've witnessed over the last few weeks are literally to change the course of history. The implications of the defeat of the United States in Afghanistan are immense. We are on the verge of witnessing events rapidly unfolding over the next few weeks and next few months, which are enormously important not just for us as Muslims, but for all the oppressed people of the world. Afghanistan has returned to the people of that land who fought against the occupiers. They have written a whole new script showing that the lands of Islam and the Muslims who have been tyrannized in those lands of Islam, as well as all the oppressed people of the world, how to defeat the self-reverential, seemingly invincible US NATO empire. And they did this with their iman, with their Islamic faith, and with their patience and their force of will, and with minimal military training, no backing of any state, unlike Vietnam, for example, which had China and the USSR, the Russian powers, behind them. They had no hundreds of billions of dollars from NATO, no trained army, no air force, no state-of-the-art technology, yet, in spite of all of that, being amongst the most impoverished people on earth, they have brought the most powerful military force the world has ever seen in recorded history to its knees. After Vietnam, this is the second, you could say, global South protagonist, who has shown the whole world how an empire can be defeated by a peasant guerrilla army. So much so that the United States, including Australia, as part of the coalition of the willing murderers, had to literally beg the Muslims of Afghanistan to let them evacuate from Kabul. So the fact that the superpower has been at the mercy of what could be adequately described as poverty-stricken tribesmen running around in mountains with plastic sandals is a geopolitical development that evokes suspension of disbelief. Undoubtedly, this humiliating withdrawal of American troops from Afghanistan also reveals the fragile power of the United States in the world, which implies that the United States is probably on the brink of a very severe decline. It took the Americans 15 years to airlift its whooped, arrogant backsides out of Vietnam. In Afghanistan, it's taken 20 years. And after 20 years of blustering, pious deception by hillbilly governments, including our very own Australian government, this hideous charade can be seen for what it was. It was a brazen scam to engorge the death merchants, namely the banks and the military industrial complex, with blood money, the money of the innocent, the money of the weak, the money primarily of Muslims. Over the next 3 weeks, I'll take the opportunity to assess geopolitically this phenomenal change and what opportunities lie for Muslims, especially in the context of the hadith of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the sacred promises afforded to this ummah in end times. Now, the corporate press and its petting zoo of hired prostitute politicians, we hear ad nauseum again raging against these supposed villains, these barbarians, these Muslim extremists. And this seems to be the last pathetic shot at a grotesque simulation of world hegemony, which they know they are quickly losing, given the fact that the very purposes of the English over 100 years ago in their great game in Central Asia, and now the United States in attempting to perpetuate Anglo-American hegemony over the world, was to largely underpinned by the fact that England, being a maritime power, was able to assert its dominance through circumventing ancient trade routes, including the famed Silk Route, and in destabilizing what could be called the Eurasian land bridge, the ancient route of trade and commerce across Central Asia between China and the world at large. This was circumvented by English maritime power and trade. And for that reason, from that point on till now, there's been every effort made to destabilize that region so as to frustrate the attempts on the peoples of the world to re-establish those ancient trade routes, the Eurasian land bridge, the ancient Silk Route, to allow for the efflorescence of civilization. And civilization has always been primarily an Eastern enterprise, not necessarily a Western enterprise. The ancient Greeks for 100 years or two, ancient Romans for about 300 or 400 years, represent the only blip on the radar of human civilizational history that indicates some measure of accomplishment on the part of European peoples. So in order to frustrate the attempt of the efflorescence of civilization again being an Eastern project, the attempt was always made to destabilize that region, Afghanistan obviously being central to it. Now with the expulsion of these cretins, of these thieves from that part of the world, there's nothing to stop the re-establishment of those ancient trade routes, including China's One Belt, One Road project, once more. The normative state of human affairs has always been the dominance of the East, not the West. Western world has been on the fringes of civilization for millennia. And with the emergence into the world, we've seen the destruction, the death, the mayhem, and the carnage that it's wrought. This, inshallah, seems to be a turning point, going back to a form of human normalcy. So this last pathetic simulation of world hegemony by the talking heads and the prostitute politicians like our very own Prime Minister represents the last gasp of what seems to be a waning world power. The only indisputable truth about the Afghan debacle is that the United States war machine, including obviously its Australian Gurkhas, the Australian government has no independent foreign policy. It serves the interests of multinational banks and multinational corporations. Australian soldiers are no more than Gurkhas. And its wholly owned political class and its press, this war machine and the banks that own it have hyped fear and outrage at 9/11 for the last 20 years to spin the mythical global war on terror. In other words, global war on me and you as Muslims. And 2 decades, obviously, of limitless profiteering using the brutal destruction of the poorest people, the most defenseless countries, as not just a quick money-making scam, but also as weapons testing experiment grounds and the profiteering that comes with it. Now, obviously, this you won't hear in the mainstream news because their agenda is quite clear: perpetuate this money scam. Whether Afghanistan could ever have been dominated, given the fact that so many empires have attempted to do it in the past and failed hopelessly, including Alexander the Great, whether they could ever be pacified, much less remade, really had no relevance in the calculus of the Anglo-American power elite. Outcomes in their pretend wars mean nothing. What matters is that profits are maximized from these death devices, which seems to be the only thing they can really attain to substantial accomplishment at. More death, more carnage, more mayhem. And we will talk about that death and that carnage and mayhem next week, inshallah, where I will provide you with statistical information, accurate information, compiled by the famed Professor Gideon Polya from the University of Melbourne, who has totted up the deaths as a consequence of these egregious acts of violence by the United States and its coalition of the willing, like the Australian Gurkha government, which amounts to over 38 million people slaughtered in the last 20 years. 38 million people slaughtered by the United States, including the Australian government being complicit in its armed forces across the world. The overwhelming majority, over 98% of those victims being you and I, Muslims. But we'll talk about that, inshallah, next week. Under the American assault, Afghanistan and its people who have survived this genocide have suffered a devastation of historic proportions. These are really massacres of the 21st century. And this represents yet another bloody stain smeared on the long and the rabid and cold history of Western Empire, particularly the British, Anglo-Celtic peoples. They seem to be burdened by Allah with the lion's share of demonic slaughter over the last 300 years. What it was in their souls that Allah found to be unworthy recipients of this distinction, well, we will only know on the Day of Judgment. But they certainly have the stain on their wretched faces once more. And after a long chain of blundering, idiotic policy train wrecks and staggeringly stupid military humiliations, all acts of blatant piracy for their war machines, which includes not just the United States, by the way, but Britain, Australia up there waving its hand to be a prostitute for the United States, and NATO, they are now regarded by the world as an unhinged, imbecile giant without brains, without ethics, without honor, or even any sense of self-preservation, because these are self-inflicted wounds. Their societies are crumbling as a consequence of their imbecility. Civilized people across the world stare at the United States and stare at Australians with disgust, while they are deluded in their own self-righteous sense of grandeur. And just listen to the idiot Prime Minister and the absurdity that he uttered just yesterday and today. Completely unhinged from reality. And next week when you hear the figures, you'll understand the true nature of the beast we're dealing with. The numbers of people slaughtered, innocent people, women, children, innocent men slaughtered. For what? Money? For what? Greed? So when you consider the sheer brute madness and the psychotic hubris, the arrogance of the United States and even our government, which are clearly understood as tyrannical regimes by all civilized people, they've deceived their own people, Australians themselves, into mortal peril. Australians will suffer. I predict within the next 2 years, Australia will be begging at the doors of China and even Indonesia for handouts. When the United States, as we see, has begun its tumble, inevitable tumble, down that slippery slope. And inevitably, the United States will be overthrown. It will implode. Civil war is beating at its doors. You saw the beginnings of almost what seemed to have been a civil war with the transition of power from Trump to this, what would you call, Biden. Imbecile. He can't even string a single sentence together. So, unfortunately, Western people have been dumbed down by propaganda into blind automatic obedience to masters, actually, who have no concern for them. And there's a shift from Pax Britannica and Americana now to Pax Judaica. And Israel and its banker barons are clearly the dominant forces in the world today. Disaster when it comes to the Western peoples. And I don't say this with glee, I say this certainly as a consequence of my commitment to natural justice, but also as a warning to them that when it comes, it's going to be as horribly mishandled as they've mishandled all these theaters of opportunism. And just like the United States scurried away, abandoning all its allies, the Australians too will be abandoned by the very same cowardly, hypocritic empire. Just like they were abandoned by the British during the Second World War, drawing a line from Melbourne to Brisbane and saying everything to the West will leave to the Japanese. And that is why I think maybe Western Australian politicians hearken back to that time and are a little suspicious of their Eastern counterparts. But having said that, when the disaster comes, and it'll come, it's going to be as inadequately mishandled as we've seen at Kabul Airport by the United States forces. These capitalist criminals and all their political whores. It amazes that Americans and British and Australian people tolerate living under this ridiculous, contemptible gang of bald-faced liars, these dimwits, these conmen, these black-hearted parasites. Because at the end of the day, what, 50% of the American people live barely on the poverty line? How many Millions of American children go hungry every single day. Australia is barely kept afloat by endlessly printing money and begging from foreign banks. Its middle class has been destroyed by this pandemic called COVID-19. Let's see how long this lasts. Now, these odious moral thugs sold the Western peoples on vengeful phony wars. And now what do we find on TV? They're grasping for alibis, any alibi, to hide their cowardice and to hide their stupidity. Now, the chaos and the dislocation at the end of empires has always been commensurate with their magnitude, their reach. The bigger the empire, the harder it falls. So look at the French, with the French Revolution and the Masonic sabotage of Europe. We find it inflamed Europe. Then came the Spanish and the British, who dislocated the Western financial system and imported, well, the city of London and its fiat currencies. The Nazis and the Russians also destabilized the world and brought what? What did Marxism bring? Agony. Fascism. What did it bring? Death. Hundreds of millions were slaughtered. The fall of Imperial America will come, certainly, in its coming, in a series of floundering, catastrophic military idiocies, which already we've seen over the last 30 or 40 years. And then what we will find is that China will put a swift, devastating end to that process. And how? Well, you'll see very soon a flight from the dollar as a reserve currency, and thereafter national bankruptcy within the United States, and the Australian dollar also will crash. That is why the Australians will go begging to the Chinese and begging to the Indonesian Muslims for protection. I won't be surprised if within the next 10 years or even 5 years you see Indonesian boots on the ground here. Now, what is certain is that it will be cataclysmic. The world will erupt. It's going to explode as a consequence of the poorest people, the Afghans, bringing the most powerful empire the world has ever seen to its knees. And alhamdulillah, it was at the hands of Muslims. And we've talked before at length about the Pashtuns and the prophetic promise, the black flags of Khorasan, at length in many other bayans. There's no need to go back to that. But what we will find is that there is going to be disruption. And when empires crash, they fall hard. And they will die devoured by their own horrors. So what I've said is actually the truth. You certainly won't hear it on mainstream news, but this is our function as ulama and as Muslims. قُلِ الْحَقِّ We say what is truth, وَإِنْ كَانَ مُرَّ Even if it is bitter. May Allah give us better understanding and protect us from what is to come.